Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. We're so glad to have you listening and watching of season three. And we have a great day of recording today with our last guest being Jennifer Steele, the executive director of the Cultural Arts Alliance. She's responsible for bringing so many new programs, initiatives to our area to enhance our culture, our arts, and our entertainment. And I am so happy to introduce you to Jennifer Steele.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Hello. Well, Jennifer, we were talking a minute ago about the first time that I met you. You were working at the Seaside Rep at the time, back when I think you had recently graduated and then joined forces to come work at the Rep and make that thing going. And it was really a really fun time for me as somebody that was close to Seaside and lived nearby. And watch like how fun that was when with the energy and life that you brought to that organization. And how long were you there?
So I had 1 year between college and moving down here. I worked at the Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta. And I moved down in 2000 and I was with the Rep until 2008, early 2008.
All right. So pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you
long
you,
run.
You left after missed the crash.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that was kind of a difficult or challenging time for all nonprofits, I believe. But it coincided with my feeling that it was time to move on kind of do my own thing. And
a universal nudge.
Yes, exactly. So, and it turned out to be
perfect.
The right nudge.
Yes, totally, totally. And I know that your family has deep roots here in the area in Grayton Beach, and like not too many people can claim the legit roots that you have here, right here with your homestead there, with your mom's family legacy here. And did when you were in school and you did take the job at the Rep, was this like where you wanted to land, or was this just like somewhere along the way to you going somewhere else?
I wanted to live here since I was 5 years old.
Okay, so perfect.
Yeah. I wanted to be here. I wanted to live in Grayton Beach. I wanted the lifestyle. But as I got older, I decided that a job would be, you know, important too. Mm-hmm. So it was really special when I could meld both of those dreams to start a theater company and also live in the place that I loved best. Mm-hmm. And it was not easy. But it was you know, definitely a dream coming true.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And a leap of faith.
Yes. So many leaps of faith required to make dreams come true.
That's right.
Because you have to have courage and you have to continue to stand and wait for them to happen. Mm-hmm. Two things that are harder than most people think. Right. So from there, and you did so many good things with that theater, by the way, and breathed a lot of life into it, and it was really, really great. And then did you jump right from there to the Cultural Arts Alliance?
So technically, yes, but I decided to start a consulting firm, and I wanted to try to work with other nonprofits with, you know, development, marketing, events, and I ended up extending my contract. Well, I ended up getting a contract with the Rep for a year. It was the year we did the prom, and that was such a fun event. But I also got a contract with the Cultural Arts Alliance to produce Arts Quest. And so that was my entree into the CAA. It was a very small organization. Mm-hmm. They had three events per year and then had a small grants and scholarship program. But for the most part, the organization was volunteer run.
Where was that event held that time? Because it moved a couple of times to a couple different venues. When you took over, was the venue over in Point Washington?
Or it was still actually here? It had moved to Baytown Wharf.
Oh, it had moved to Baytown Wharf.
So it was in Grayton for 7 years.
Yep.
Eden for 7 years. Baytown Wharf for 7 years. And then we kind of had a little hop and skip through Seaside and Watercolor. And then now it's been at Grand Boulevard for almost 8 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, Grand Boulevard has been really, they're just a supportive partner. It's nice to have the infrastructure there, but they also really see the value in partnering with arts and culture. So we've been really fortunate to be able to live there for a while.
Right. And then when did that segue into the official title of executive director of the, I guess, that morphing into the Cultural Arts Alliance.
Yeah, so I was on contract for 8 months, and then they offered me the executive director role, mm-hmm. and I've been there since August of 2008. Mm-hmm. So
when you look back on all that you accomplished since then, what do you think?
Well, I am very proud of the work that we've done. And I say we because it has been a group effort by volunteers. And now we have a staff of 10. We started out with a staff of 1.5. Mm. And our board and the community and artists. And it's really been special to look when I do look back, because you get so you're in it, you know, yeah. you're just not
your
even
head's
really
down
looking.
And you can't even know what happens.
You're just like, got to get this done. I got to get this deadline. Yeah. Got to get through this year. And then you look back and it's been, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you see how far we've come. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's very rewarding, but I don't often give myself that luxury of patting myself on the back.
Right. And there's no time. And you're always looking into the future.
Exactly.
Which can be, you know, it's a good thing because then you can't get caught up in anything else and you just have to keep moving forward.
Right.
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 But so many significant things that have happened. What would be one or two things that happened under your, with you at the helm that you just go, wow, I cannot believe we pulled that off. That is unbelievable.
Well, I would say Fashion Week, you were a part of that. That was a very...
groovy.
It was groovy, and it was so challenging in good ways, mm-hmm. and also I'd never experienced anything like that
it
before.
It was amazing.
It was. It was.
It's so sad that it isn't here anymore. And, you know, things can't last forever. And you know what? Sometimes they never were meant to last forever. Right. But it was 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we did 4 years.
4 years.
And working with the Monarch Events team, and it was so fun. It was such a great time.
It was so
and
well
And I do
done.
Miss that kind of, the CAA doesn't do anything else like that is that aesthetically elevated. And
it was so
it
elevated.
Was, yeah, it was
it
just really,
really
lovely. And thanks to you too, because you were a part of it.
We were happy to be part of it. It was so fun for us too. I want to talk about it for 1 second to interject too, because, you know, Melina, who was one of the winners, or was she? Oh, yeah, she was the winner.
Yeah.
That she was on the cover. So for the audience and listeners out there, Jennifer's event, South Walton Fashion Week, was, you know, like an offshoot of like Nashville Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, NOLA Fashion Week and all that. And it was a big deal for that to happen at the beach. And these young ladies who would vie for winning the event for the model of the year, V would have them on the cover and then write an article about that they won through this event that the Cultural Arts Alliance put on. And Emmy, who was 15, was the first one. Mm-hmm. And then Emmy ended up working here for a couple of years.
That's right.
And isn't it amazing to feel like a proud mama on something when you know, these kids got to win South Walton Fashion Week as Models of the Year. And we have Miranda Abney and Emmy Martin and Melina and Bella Dujon, and watch them grow. And basically all thriving in their respective careers. And to some degree, I mean, all the credit goes to them because it's not easy being a model. But I asked Emmy one time when she was here, I go, so did you train a lot to be able to master your walking? And how are you able to do this? And how were you able to do it when you were 15? And she said, I just go do it. I mean, she just instinctively could do it.
Well, and you could see it, you know, as they were rehearsing or even just auditioning. I mean, I had no experience in that industry, but even without any, you can always tell when someone just has raw talent.
Right.
And that was I think aside from the models, the emerging designers were also so impressive.
They were so impressive,
And to have that kind of talent.
Yeah.
represented, and to be able to, you know, help nurture that and get it out there to the world was,
yeah,
it was also helpful in accomplishing our mission,
right,
for supporting artists. So
right,
it was a great experience. Maybe someday. I do have some staff who would like to bring that event back, so we may be getting in touch with you.
Wow. That's great. And then, like, we were so lucky to be able to get Christian Siriano down here to be a judge 1 year, and then Ashley Longshore, and then they met and fell in love, and they became best friends, you know, since then. And now they're ruling the world in New York City, you know, doing their both of them.
Is she in New York City now?
She is. She just opened her gallery about a month ago. Okay. No, actually, probably just 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Just check it out on Instagram, because I think it's Three Stories. It's in Soho.
Wow.
And no one has ever seen anything like it. And it's almost like, and I'm not really exaggerating when I say this, it looks like on Instagram and from the articles that are in New York that are writing features on her, it looks like New York City was waiting for her. Like, it needed her to fill like a very large space and vacuum, and she is ruling New York City.
Well, she has such a unique personality and style, and maybe it needed something that was a little more lighthearted and didn't take itself quite so seriously. But exactly. She's obviously a serious artist.
Oh yeah, she's definitely talented.
She's got a larger than life personality, and I would love having her be a part of the event. It was
that was
special,
just
to have
so,
that energy
so
and her just the visual presence and. It was great. I'm sitting here looking at her artwork. Well,
I know.
Say this.
I know. It's not funny. I know. It's so funny. I know. And like just so many other things that happened. And the Monarch Girls, as you have said as well, they worked tirelessly.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we worked hard, and I'm not negating that we worked hard, but we did not work as hard as that, because that was grueling, but they could pull it off. I mean, they really can. And then, you know, I know it was like a really big deal, a lot of moving parts, a lot of different locations, which were really, even when I was in it, I was like, how is this happening? And then when you look back,
what's
you're
wrong
like,
with them?
No, not what's wrong with them. Like, how is it physically able to happen?
Yeah, we had that same question of ourselves. But, you know, we wanted to, comparing it to like the 38 Songwriters Festival, we wanted it to be a part of more communities than just one. And that's, I think, one of the special and successful things about the Songwriters Festival is that it reaches almost every community on 30A and beyond. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to kind of do the same thing with Fashion Week, you know, by putting it on the East End and the West End. And I think we did something else in between. But it definitely was, it was a lot to produce.
It was a lot, but you did produce it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you really did pull it off. And although it was hard, it doesn't mean it wasn't like a game material, which it was. It really, really was.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, so good. And then, you know, obviously your biggest signature event would be the Songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that is 15 years.
Yes.
Okay.
This coming January will be the 15th annual.
Okay. So, How was that birthed? I mean, I think I know the story that mandate from wherever you were getting it was to fill shoulder seasons, right? Like, I don't know where that came. You can tell your
own
story.
Well, the TDC kind of set that up in the beginning. They were the first organization to support ArtsQuest.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's why it was set in May, because of that mandate.
Okay.
And so they were trying to fill the shoulder season. When we decided to create the Songwriters Festival, January was the only time that really made sense, because we needed so much housing for artists.
Right.
And it, you know, I mean, Watercolor was closed. I mean, not Watercolor, the entire community, but the Watercolor Fish Out of Water was closed. Right. A lot of restaurants shut down for January, right, or at least for a couple of weeks. And there wasn't a whole lot going on. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, that will be the best month to be able to ask for housing for the artist and also bring in rentals for our partners,
mm-hmm,
and sales for our venue. So that's pretty much how it started, just because it made so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously MLK weekend is a 3-day weekend. The TDC again was the first organization to support it. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah. And now it's, now January is very busy.
Right. And even I'll say the same thing that I said about South Walton Fashion Week with the multiple venues, that is a huge undertaking. But one that you also are able to pull off. And it maybe looks like it even seemingly so from the outside looking in got easier because your muscle of 15 years, you know, you've done it year after year and it must somehow be, well, I have this muscle to do this. I know I'm going to be able to do it. Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And also our staff is larger. A lot of things are in place that don't change. So, you know, in the first 5 years, we had some variables that, you know, made things a little bit harder. And we were had growing pains and, you know, just kind of you realize what's working and who's working and what's not working. And just kind of getting through that is, you know, it took a few years. But definitely, I mean, my goal is always to, as the producer, to have – be ready to go on day one, have everything ready to go, be as prepared as you possibly can be, because then it's all going to fall apart and you have to be ready to receive all the things that you can't control.
And put them back together again.
So I think that the answer is yes, but also, you know, inevitably there are pandemics and, you know.
Rain.
Yeah. Bridges out on 30A.
Yes. Right, that's not
the
fun.
Things that you can't control that you just have to, the show must go on. So, I mean, it's, I think it gets easier, but we do try to keep it fresh and bring in new elements that, you know, keep people interested in, and engaged. So, don't want it to ever be too easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That's a good way to approach anything because then you might not have the same passion anymore. Sometimes you need resistance.
Right.
To be good.
Right.
Or then you get kind of lazy. That's why I have never been able to get lazy because I've had resistance
you,
forever.
No, I would, the lazy is not a word that I would ever put in your description.
No. But mostly I'm forced to not be lazy. So I just have to figure things out, you know. Of all the people that have come in the past and whoever, and I don't know who the lineup is for this year either, but has there ever been any from the stage where you go, I cannot believe that that person is here right now, that was a major coup for you to get or someone that you really loved being here?
Well, I can say the very first year when we had the Indigo Girls here, that was a moment for me because it was our first year. We thought we were going to have 10 artists, maybe 20. Mm-hmm. And then Russell Carter got involved and he was their manager and he was like, I'll get the Indigo Girls for you.
Amazing.
And so I remember when I got to introduce them on stage, I thought, this is, and I had been a fan since I was a teenager. So that was a really special moment. I think John Prine was a very special, poignant, like emotional. I remember having that kind of, I have to be present right now because I don't want to ever forget how this feels.
Right.
And then he was gone, you know, a few months later. Yeah. So he's been here twice, but that last time was when I got to hear him at the Great and Beer Tap Room with his son and his wife sat in and sang a few songs. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most special moments of the last 14 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
There are so many
I know
more.
There's so many.
Those are just two big examples.
That they are pretty big. Who is headlining this year, can you say?
Yeah. So we've announced Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, Elvis Costello and the Imposters, which will be another pinch me moment.
Okay.
I see him on the stage.
Yes, that's neat.
Roseanne Cash, who's been here before and is returning, and then Katie Tunstall, and most recently Grace Potter. We will bring her back. So, and then we have 170 other artists that play all weekend long.
170.
Mm-hmm. Well, 175 plus, and then we have 30 stages.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, that is way bigger than South Walton Fashion Week.
Yes.
It's like way bigger.
It
so,
is.
So
it
that
is.
Was your, that was like testing the waters out for you to be able to know how to grow and grow and grow, because that is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, The event started out with, I think, 8 venues, and then 30 gradually venues? Grew. And then I think by year 7 or 8, we were up to 28, 30.
Unbelievable. Do you still have the gospel brunch?
Yes.
And
yes.
Is that still at Kaliza?
Yes.
Yes. That's like really one of my favorites of them.
That's a very popular
event. I know people like, because it's cool. It's different. You don't get to experience that. Mm-hmm. That often and in that setting, it's really neat. I did really like seeing Amy Grant last year. For me, that was a big moment. I had not known that she had had an accident prior to, and then knowing that she did and what she came back from and how she was sitting on that stage was like, I don't know, I'm speechless about it because it was unbelievable.
I agree. That was really special. Yeah. And I didn't realize that she had had to teach herself all of her songs again.
Right.
And I knew she'd had an accident, but I didn't know how severe it had been. Mm. And I grew up singing her songs in church and listening to her tape on repeat when I was little. And so that was special to get to hear her. And also kind of hear how she has evolved in her career and belief system and feeling like that had kind of it. I felt aligned with that. And it was rewarding to me to be able to like look at somebody who'd been a hero and think, well, she's still a hero of mine.
Oh, so, yeah, definitely. That was a pack that you could not. That was to say that was standing room only in an afternoon on a Tuesday or a Thursday would be an understatement.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, she did our late checkout party on Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So kudos to you. Kudos to you and your team.
Thank you.
That's really big. And I know this year is going to be fantastic. We're happy to be promoting it in the pages of the magazine, too. I know it's a big deal, and I think it's an amazing event.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. So just when you think that those were two big things, now let's talk about another big thing, which fascinates me, but I can't see it yet until I learn how to scuba dive. And that would be the underwater museum that I know I'm pointing this way. It's right out there.
It's right out there.
Great Beach. How many miles out?
It's just under 1 mile.
Oh, just under 1 mile. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've seen pictures, obviously we've, you know, covered that before. And usually you have like the new piece of art, you'll have it on display at Grand Boulevard, what it looks like, you know, before it basically is submerged.
Yeah.
Right. And when's the last time a new piece of art was submerged down there? Was that like
2 years ago? We submerged 6 pieces this past July.
This past July. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so describe to people that are listening or watching what that is and how many pieces of art are currently there and where the idea came from. And I know you told me right before we went on to the show that it's the only one in the United States. So that's significant.
Well, I'll try to summarize this. But Allison Wickey, who is an artist, she is on the CAA board and she's a diver. She had SWARA, South Walton Artificial Reef Association, had already started deploying artificial reef that you could snorkel and dive. And she had done that. And she was really inspired by it. And so she came to me and said, do you think the CAA would be interested in putting sculptures down there if we could figure out a way to partner with the South Walton Artificial Reef Association? And I said yes. And she brought it to the board meeting. And the board was enthusiastic. So we started meeting with Andy McAlexander of SWARA, and I applied for some grants. We got a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, and that was kind of just it. We got, okay, we have this $10,000. Let's try to match it and figure out what we can do in this next year. And I think it took us a couple of years to get everything, like with the permitting and just get our plan in place, issue a call to artists. It was we had a pretty large learning curve because we had never we'd never had a public art program. And so it was ironic that our first public art program was going to be at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
But
so good.
We issued a call. We had, I think, 7 sculptures that first year. And, our first deployment was June of 2018. And so we partner with Saguaro, but we also partner with Walton County because they have already gotten all the permits that we need to put the sculptures where they are. And then Walter Marine builds custom pedestals for each. So they all go to Walter Marine in Orange Beach, Florida, and then they get they place them on the barge, and then the barge comes out to the site, and I say goodbye to them forever because I've never been able to dive. I'm not a diver yet, so it's pretty. It's kind of a bizarre,
bucket list.
Magical thing to watch them go into the water and think like that's it. That's where they will be forever. But yeah, it is a bucket list. I need to, it's kind of a fear. So I need to face that fear and get down there.
I think you should. I think I'll go with you.
Let's do it.
Because I have a fear and I want to know how to scuba dive, but I also am afraid. So.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to be doing it.
I know.
And it looks really great.
Well, Allison goes, I mean, she goes all the time and she makes it look very easy. So she's an inspiration. But she and I are actually going out to California to receive the CODA Award for, it's an international award for collaboration of the year. And there were over 400 submissions worldwide. And we won that. There are, I think, 7 categories, and that was the category where we won.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so huge.
So it'll be great to be out there with her. And
yes. How long will you be there?
For about 4 days.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
It's a conference
time.
And an award ceremony.
Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was that?
The UMA?
No, the actual, you know, to have it an underwater museum.
Oh, so it was inspired, you know, Jason DeCares Taylor had been doing work in other parts of the world. And I think that was, I can't speak for her, but I think that was one of the inspirations for Allison bringing it to us.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
good.
She's been...
She's been a great
board, all of it.
Board member, past president, and now Alexis Miller, our beautiful friend, is second year as president.
It's her third year as president.
And she can make things happen too.
She does. She does.
Definitely. So how about you talk a little bit about your alignment sponsors that are sort of like under your wing but are, you know, separate and that you've like sort of like is in the fold. Like the Emerald Coast Story tellers?
Yeah, we have. So we decided through our strategic planning that rather than try to be everything and create everything that needs to be, you know, culturally relevant in our community, I mean, we obviously can't do that. And there are already so many things happening that we would be open to partnerships that help us fulfill our mission while supporting that organization, whether it be a nonprofit or a for-profit. And so that's the Emerald Coast Storytellers partnership is an example of that. So we support their work. They have their official program partner on our website. And I'm trying to think. It actually kind of started back with the Longleaf Writers Conference because we were a fiscal agent for them while they got their bearings and for a few years. And we still support that organization. But those two are great examples of how we are supporting literary arts.
That's fantastic.
Because we did not have anything currently in our programming. Yeah.
That fills in, you know, just fills a great niche.
Yes.
You know, and like you said, aligns with your mandate, mission, and whatnot. And the two or three ago where you were the guest speaker and I was there, it was so beautiful.
Thank you.
I loved your presentation and I loved everything about it and learned some more things about you that I didn't know. And I loved it all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a great exercise for me because I'm not really a writer and I don't love to speak about myself in public. I was trained as an actor and so it was
speaking
more about
somebody else.
Eating. Yeah. Eating. Yeah. I'm very hungry right now. and reading other people's words and interpreting them is easier for me than talking about myself.
Yeah, it was hard to do.
It was a good challenge, like overcoming that challenge and then getting through it was a good exercise.
It's good. It's really good. So highlight of it all and a low light of it all. And then I like to sort of close it with something inspirational that someone can be listening to. It might be an actor, like aspiring actor. It could be just somebody that wants to go make something happen and like plow in their own field to like see a dream realized like you've done on multiple occasions. It's part of like what the ethos of this is, right? You know, just have real conversations so that other people can also listen in and get something out of it too.
Yeah. So highlight, I think I had a highlight about a month ago when we had a staff retreat and I was kind of sitting back and listening to this group of, they were all women. We have one male, no offense to men, but my staff happens to be all women except for one. And I was just sitting back listening to them, and we, our age ranges are from like 25 to 65, and so many different perspectives and years of experience within the organization and outside of it. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of happiness and pride that the work that I used to do pretty much by myself, with Lee Green, who is actually the longest tenured employee, she started before I did. Now we have all of these passionate people who are passionate about the work, and I don't have to tell them to be passionate. They are. And it's just, it was like one of the most special, just minutes when I, you know, had this flash of joy, and it was really great.
Because you multiplied yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you probably are like this too. I guess the example of Emmy, like you don't look for someone who fits the role. Mm-hmm. I try to find the right people. Mm-hmm. And then if they have the character, then I know they can do the work. Mm-hmm. And so I think from an organizational standpoint, that was a highlight.
Yeah.
And awesome. Just knowing that, you know, when I'm gone, if I'm not here in 10 years, then there will be someone with the same level of passion to keep running the organization.
Because you built a legacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks. A low light, gosh.
Raining.
I hate to say, I mean, the pandemic was difficult, but that actually became a highlight because we were able to, we're always producing. And so it was such a wonderful gift. I hate to use that because so many people were negatively affected, but the time that we had to kind of step back.
And it was a gift.
Look at everything that we had done and really get to stop and evaluate and talk about where we really want to go and how we're going to do it without income from programs. And it was, like, looking back on it, that was a great learning experience, not because of, not from what we couldn't do, but what we could do, and we didn't know we could.
It was a moment of reflection for me. And by a moment, I do mean a moment.
Yes.
A short period of time.
Because you didn't stop working.
No, but the first couple months I did to some degree because, you know, it was so crazy and we were home and we weren't working and we didn't know what the future held. And as much as at times I was really afraid, at other times I was really happy. And one thing that happened to me from that was I had no idea how tired I was. Because once you get off the gerbil wheel, you know, and things catch up with you, I'm like, I never want to get on the plane for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And so I was able to catch up a little bit on not traveling and just being put, stay put, you know, like how people used to live. They didn't jump on a plane all the time and like just, you know, goes too fast.
Yes.
Right? Now, that was then, this is now. Now I'm too fast again, but, you know, whatever. It still was a moment. And, you know, sometimes a pause is okay. And sometimes a pause is all you really need before you can mad dog it on something else too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I remember the first time I got on a plane after, I guess it had been a couple of years. I thought I was going to have a panic attack.
Yeah.
It's like, not because I was worried about getting sick, but because I was, I realized how much I didn't like flying.
Yeah.
It's just it's not a fun experience.
It's not fun. It really is not fun.
I'm back used to it.
Yeah, you're back. Yeah, we're all kind of back. Boomerang back.
And then I just thought of this one other thing, and it's kind of personal, but my son is a senior, And I have two sons, but my youngest is a senior in high school, and he's
the senior? Your youngest?
He's a senior.
Wow. Yes, he's graduating. Okay, that's kind of crazy.
I know. Okay. Makes me very sad, but also
very happy.
Happy. But he just recently started getting involved in theater in his school.
Oh.
And he's a musician. His dad's a musician, mm-hmm. and he's always played an instrument, but he's now playing professionally with his dad.
Really?
But he, at school, he started acting, and he's quite good. And just seeing him, like, seeing the example of how art can change you mm-hmm. and help you grow and blossom, it is real in my household.
Wow.
And I had never tried to influence him. I'd never, like, you know, you got to get involved with theater. You have to, I mean, I did make him work at our event, but that's about it.
Right.
But it was, it was so, I think that's a great example of seeing all the work I've done manifest itself in my own home.
Yeah. Wow.
And not because of my work generally, not specifically with right. him. So yeah, that was really special.
It's in his DNA, right?
That's
from
true.
Both of you.
That's true.
What instrument does he play with his dad?
So he plays bass, okay. guitar, uh-huh. With the Saunders Boys as their yep. stage name. Okay. But he can play piano, drums.
Really? That's great.
Guitar, yeah.
Will he perform at all at the Songwriters Festival?
Maybe.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out how
to do that.
Yeah, we'll see.
You can do it.
Yeah, I'll talk to somebody.
You can talk to somebody in the know.
You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Well, thank you for being here, Jennifer. It was good catching up, and congratulations on all your success and everything. And it's a pleasure to know you and see everything that you're doing for us and the community. It's a really big deal.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome.
It's always good to see you.
You too. Thank you for listening and watching, everyone. We hope you have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.